national religion. Okay, monotheism. The third one is pantheism. Pantheism, all is God, God is all. Pantheism is the root of the New Age movement. Pantheism has helped give rise to such worldviews as relativism and pluralism. Buddhism, Taoism, Hinduism are all pantheistic beliefs. Buddhism, the sound of one hand clapping, okay? It's pantheistic. It doesn't make any sense. One hand doesn't clap unless you do this. But that's not what they mean, you know, the sound of one hand clapping. So everything sounds so beautiful, existential. It's all spiritual, and reality really is it doesn't really exist, you see. Pantheism, all is God, God is all is one. You see, you hear a lot of the Dalai Lamas and the you know, a lot of the lamas that preach a gospel like that, you know, a message like that, and what they're doing is trying to transcend reality. They're trying to escape reality. They don't want to be a part of reality. They don't want to suffer. They don't want to be responsible. So everything is transcendent, see? There's no real truth. But the problem is it doesn't make any sense. It sounds romantic, but it doesn't make sense, okay? Pantheism is one of the roots of relativism and pluralism. Pluralism basically is everything is true. Everything is true. All things are true. Doesn't matter. Relativism is pretty much the same thing. It's just they seek more proof for certain things, but everything is true. Relativist is all things are relative. You believe that way, I believe that's fine. It's all relative, okay? It doesn't really matter whether or not what you believe is true. Let's all just be tolerant. That's pantheism. And finally, naturalism. Naturalism is, we talked about it already. Naturalism states that all of reality is nothing more than matter in motion. The Big Bang, here we are. That's all there is. Nothing more. No God, no spirit. Your love for your mom is just brain firing 6.23. Okay, it has no value to it. All right. Your love for apple pie is two chemicals in your brain that mix and make you feel good in your body and crave because your body needs sugar. There's no meaning to emotions. There's no meaning to reality. All things are physical. Emotions are mental states. Mental states are physical things. Okay, that's naturalism. Naturalism is a soil for other things to grow in. It's one of the biggest soils of all. Sorry, I didn't mean to erase Texas here. Okay. Naturalism is like a flower bed. Man, this pen is running out. Okay, it's a flower bed. Picture one. I don't think I can draw one. It's a flower bed, okay? And there's these nice, pretty flowers. They look pretty. That grow out of it. Okay, they're lies. Okay, there's these flowers that grow out of naturalism. All right? If you want to draw this, you can, and then you're going to write words in the flowers. I can't do it with this pen. But the lies that grow out of naturalism, there's different kinds of naturalism. Number one is scientific naturalism. Scientific naturalism, it's the most popular kind. And we're just going to deal with three. There's like seven, okay? Scientific naturalism. Scientific reasoning is the key of all of reality. That's their view of metaphysics or reality. Scientific reasoning is the key to reality. In other words, I need to have it proven scientifically in a test tube in order for it to be real. I need to see it in a test tube. I don't need to have it explained to me. Philosophy doesn't mean anything. I need to see it on paper. Okay? What's that? Empirical evidence. That's right. Empiricism. That's right. I need empirical evidence. I need to see it. The bad thing about that is you can't empirically prove that you were in your house at 7 a.m. this morning. You know that? You might be able to find some DNA strands here and there. You can't empirically prove that you love your husband or you love your wife. You can't scientifically prove that in a test tube. You can't do it. But do you love your wife or your husband? Yes. Do you love your mom? Do you love your kids? Yes. But you can't prove it. All right? But scientific naturalism says if you can't prove it in the laboratory, it's not real. It doesn't exist. Okay? Scientific naturalism. The interesting thing about science is in 1620 there was a scientific revolution. It was started by Christian scientists. Without Christianity, science would have not begun. They began to test and go through different proofs of things. The interesting thing that happened was that they began to depart from the area of science in 1689. The church removed itself from the scientific community, and as a result, it lost its influence. What took over? Reason. Reason took over. See, science was begun as a way to better understand the world that God gave us. Since the world does make sense, since there is a creator, since God is real, I want to know more about what he created. That was science. But when the church left the realm of science, reason took over because these men didn't want to believe in God or Christianity. So they said, well, now reason is the greatest value in science. Why do I want to find out? Because a man just wants to learn, that's all. He just wants to know more. Yes? Yes. Exactly. See, and that's a presuppositional apologetic, you see. Does that make sense? See, they're finding things that are already true. And that's really what needs to happen. We need more of that. We need more Christian scientists. Okay, well, not Christian, you know what I mean? Can you edit that? This is what Paul said. More Christian scientists. No, Christian. I don't know. I'm not sure what science means. Right. Right. Well, Paul gives a great premise for science. He says when man observes the natural universe, he has no excuse but to say there must be a God. Well, I mean, see, the thing that's sad is what happened was knowledge took over rather than God. God was no longer the premise of science. Reason was knowledge. And so what happened was there were so many different reasons, there were so many different ideas of why, then guess what came out of that? Relativism. Make sense? Well, you believe that. You did the same experiment. You believe that was why. I believe this is why. Well, hey, I guess we're all just right. I guess we just have to agree to disagree. That's what the scientific community brought about in our culture. See what happens? See how powerful worldviews are? They're so powerful. They're so meaningful. See? These people that were scientific reason, just reasoning out, trying to find the truth through simple reason, it just led to even more views than before. And the result, there's no common morality. There's no common truth. There's no common anything. And all we can hope for is just to consent and agree with each other. That's the best that we can hope for in this world, is just to kind of get along. You know, Rodney King, can we all just get along? That's what science has brought for us. Because there's all kinds of different theories, so hey, we can't know anyway. So forget it, you know, let's just try to get along. And so what do they base reality on now? Reality is progress. Progress. That's our goal, progress. That's such an unnoble goal, don't you think? Let's just get better. Let's just live longer. Let's just be happier. So that's the goal of science. That's it. Progress, 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 progress. Because the meaning was taken out of it. Well, yeah, there's no meaning why progress. Right. Right, exactly. Exactly. Nothing is given meaning in naturalism. And so that's why you come up with such things as Hitler, by the way, claimed to be a Catholic. Said, I am and always have been a Catholic. That was just a crutch for him. He was not a Catholic. Hitler believed it was okay to exterminate humans because, hey, survival of the fittest. Survival of the fittest. If you're weaker, I'll just kill you. If I don't like you, I'll kill you because I'm stronger. It's a naturalistic worldview. Scary. It's scary. Okay? So that's naturalistic, it's sort of scientific naturalism. Humanistic naturalism, a human being is the center and the hope of the universe. Human being is the center and the hope of the universe. For some cosmic reason, we are smarter and more dominant than any other creature in the world. We're at the top of the list. So, hey, religion is the enemy because we're the center of the universe, not God. Right? Religion is the enemy. I heard some lady on the TV, on the O'Reilly Factor, saying, religion is the enemy. You know, it's because of religion that these Islamic people, the Crusades, and it's because of religion and all these things. She's the king of the universe. She's the top. Okay, there's no reason for life except for the human being. So, hey, imagine all the people. Remember John Lennon's song? Imagine. What does he say? Imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's no heaven. What's he trying to say? Man is the center of the universe. That peace will come through that. If man is at the center of the universe. What a lie. What a lie. That's very depressing, isn't it? That's it? Just man? It's funny. When those planes crashed into those buildings, how everyone was so happy to go and seek a new hope in man. It's not what happened. People now are looking for God. They need to find him in Christ, but that's not what happened. There's no hope in man. Well, I don't know much about Lennon. I just know that song he sang was a very humanistic song.
There's no point in maybe if people didn't believe so strongly, they wouldn't fight about it, but the good thing about it was that he didn't he knew that those things were going on in the world, the wars and all that, that was wrong. He had that idea that it was wrong, stuff that peace was a good thing, which he knew.
Right. Just his means to find it is wrong. It's wrong. I mean, everyone wants peace. Everybody wants
peace. Not everybody has that idea.
Right. You're getting it. You're getting it. Exactly right. Exactly where we're leading. Okay, we got to hurry up here, guys. All right, romantic naturalism, we won't get too much into that. Basically, people are good, and let's just try to be optimistic about life because man's basically good. Culture is what makes us bad. Okay, culture makes us bad. It's all culture's fault. It's all Christianity's fault and religion and culture. So let's just try not to be so cultural. Let's just have a romantic view of man. Man's just a good guy, okay? He's not a sinner. And, you know, boy, is that ever a lie. Now, how do you test the worldview? We've gone through a lot of things. Now, this is where the rubber's going to meet the road. Next week, we're just going to be testing stuff, and you guys are going to know how to do it. And here's how. That's what a worldview is. Those are some basic worldviews. Now, I've got to start to take someone's worldview and help myself kind of categorize some of it. Because usually a person's kind of got a hodgepodge of a bunch of them, right? He's got, like, things he liked from here, and he liked from there, and he liked this. And the reason why is he doesn't want to be responsible to God. That's the bottom line. He doesn't want to be responsible to God. So he goes, oh, that sounds good. I don't have to be responsible to that and this. And he kind of collects, you know, pantheism, polytheism, a little bit from naturalism. See, but if we know where he's coming from, see, now we can address that issue, and then he'll start to maybe, hopefully, Lord willing, start to see that, well, gosh, I guess that's kind of dumb, isn't it? You know? And there's a way to go about it, and the method is just as important as how. Okay? We don't want to just go out and blast everybody. We're going to get into the method. There's a method to do it with meekness and respect. But we need to understand how to test the worldview. Here's how to do it. The first way is by reason. By reason. Reason is not the enemy of the Christian faith. The thesis that we should not be reasonable in our faith is self-contradicting because it's a reason. All right? The law of non-contradiction. Okay? That's all you need to know. We don't need to get into all these rules of logic. That's all you need to know. The law of non-contradiction states this. Okay? A can be anything in the world. A cannot be both B and non-B at the same time and in the same sense. Did you get that? A cannot be both B and non-B in the same way and in the same sense. In other words, this shirt cannot be all blue and all red at the same time. Understand what I mean by that? That's the law of non-contradiction. If something doesn't pass that test, it's simply not true. The whole thing is bad. Okay, it's spoiled. If there's one thing about someone's worldview that stinks like that, the whole thing is wrong. The law of non-contradiction. The funny thing is that people are making that mistake all the time. The law of non-contradiction. A cannot be both B and non-B at the same time. For example, a statement cannot be true and false at the same time and in the same sense. An object cannot be both round and square at the same time and in the same sense. Doesn't make any sense. We all know that, but this is just kind of putting it in writing. So we understand what we're doing, okay? Now, that's an important way to go about it. The presence of a contradiction is always a sign of error. If a worldview is not logically consistent in every way, then it can be proven to be false. If it does not fit this world in every single way, then you can display to that person that it's false. It doesn't make sense of his world. You see what I'm saying? If I can show someone that what they're saying doesn't fit the world, then that's, you know, A is not both A and non-A, not B and non-B at the same time. I've shown them that their sense of reality contradicts the world. Okay? It contradicts logic. Well, see, that's what you're going to show to them. You're going to show to them, and we're going to go through that. You're going to show to them that premise, see? You're not just going to stay on the surface and say, well, this is the truth. You're going to go and show them that their whole premise doesn't make any sense. You're going to show them that the fact that truth is relative doesn't make any sense. You're going to display that to them. And we're going to get into that. We can't do it today, okay? Like I said, the examples and the process is a lot funner than learning all this stuff. You've got to learn this stuff. It's got to be foundational. The second test that we're going to put, the law of non-contradiction, the test of reason, the second test is the test of experience. We must also consider the test of experience. If a worldview is true, then we should be able to see it and observe it in the world around us. If a worldview is true, we should be able to see it and observe it in the world around us. When a person's worldview and the way their lives are lived do not comport, or in other words, don't fit together, then there is a great possibility that their worldview is... They themselves don't really believe it. Does that make sense? They themselves don't really believe it. A person says he's an atheist, there's no God, and he loves his wife, he balances his checkbook, he feeds his dog, he kisses his kids. He's living like there's a God. He's living like there's moral absolutes, but he's saying that there are none. Okay? So why does he not believe in God? Well, it turns out several reasons. It's because, you know, something happened to him at church, and now he's turned off to God. Or he saw a Christian that got drunk, and now he's a hypocrite. See? That's his reason. He sees Christianity's a bunch of hypocrites. That's why. It's not a reasonable reason, but he tries to make himself think of it. So, you see? It's his presupposition. So, are you ready? We only got 5 minutes. I started late, though, so sorry. But you got to do this, or we got to finish this. We're going to put it. It's not going to take that long. We're going to put this stuff into practice. Your head should be spinning right now. Is it kind of spinning? It's okay. It's going to make sense. I guarantee you it's going to start. You're going to go, oh, when it clicks, you're going to go, whoa, it's going to start making sense. And it's going to be fun. Okay? I think it's fun. We're going to put this into practice. I want you, in these statements, and do it by raising your hand. We got to do it quick. Find an intellectual and experiential contradiction in these statements. Okay? An intellectual and an experiential contradiction in these statements. These are all lies. These are all lies from the pit of hell. Okay? Evil heart of man. You know, they are lies. But if someone tells you something, go, that's a lie from the pit. You're going to go, they don't believe in lies from the pit. So you've done nothing to help them. Okay? So here we go. We're going to show this person that what they're saying doesn't make sense. Are you ready? There is really no such thing as absolute truth. What's that? There you go. Are you absolutely sure? Hear what he said? Well, yes, I'm absolutely sure. Come on. Why is what I say wrong? How? I made an absolute. See that? That's an easy one. These are all pretty easy. They're going to get harder. Okay? There's no absolute truth. Listen to this. Here's what this person's saying. There's absolutely no absolute truth, and I am absolutely sure that that's true. Okay? Kicking himself. Professing to be wise, he becomes a fool. All right? Here we go. You really can't know anything for sure, so religious debate is meaningless. Are you sure? Exactly. Okay, you can't answer anymore. Good. You really can't know anything for sure, and I absolutely know that for sure. Get it? You really can't know anything for sure. Stop pushing your beliefs on me. Stop pushing your beliefs on me. Hey, that's good, man. He got it. That was a tougher one. Stop pushing your beliefs on me. Really? Now, you think I should not push my beliefs on people? Well, yeah. Now, you want me to believe that way? Yeah. Well, then it's kind of pushing that on me, right? Fool. No, I'm just saying. But that's what you're doing, man. It's the Mr. T approach. You don't call them a fool, but you're showing them. Look, that's kind of dumb what you're saying here. See? Yeah. Listen to what you're saying. See? You're showing them that. Okay? Now, stop pushing your beliefs on me. Pushing that on you to stop doing that to them. That's a belief. I only believe in things I see with my eyes. I only believe in things I see with my eyes. This is a harder one. But when you get it, it's a cool one. It's good. You can use those examples. But in the statement itself, there's a contradiction. Yeah, in the mirror. Yes. I'm sorry, I get excited. Danny said it. You can't see the statement that you should only believe what you see. Did you walk down the street and somebody came up and said, hi, I'm Mr. I only believe what I see, and you saw him, and now you believe you should only believe what you see because you saw it come to be, that you should only believe what you see? How many of you guys get that? Oh, no. Okay, here we go. If someone says, I only believe, the only things in the world I believe is what I see with my eyes, they have never seen that statement. Yes? Getting it? They've never seen the statement, I only believe what I see, to be true. They've never observed that to be true. And yet they believe that to be true. How did they observe that? Did they see some in a movie that you should only believe what you see? They've never observed that to be true. Therefore, by their own statement, they shouldn't believe that because they've never seen it with their eyes. Now how many of you get it? Okay, good. That's a few more. What's that? Right, but they would say, I observe it. Are you only... Right, well, you can observe the wind. I mean, see, and they'll say that, well, I only believe what I experience and observe. But they've never... What's that? Right, but that's how I know it. You know what I mean? So, well, see, what they're going to say to that is... No, listen, friend. Yeah, no. Yes, it does. But yeah, it's a good point. But see, here's the thing about that. The analogy does break down, though. Because the analogy breaks down, you can observe the fact that there is wind because of its effects. Okay? And now if you go that route, it's going to be a harder route. It's an easier route to say to them, look, what you're saying should not be true by your own statement.